Hello, welcome to Growing Wild, sponsored by Infinity Foods here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online and on digital. I'm Charlotte Pett, and today's show is all about wild swimming. We'll be hearing from the Outdoor Swimming Society, photographer and swimmer Vivian Rickman-Paul. We're going to hear a little bit of Alexandra Hemmingsley's book, Leap In. And finally, we'll hear how me and my friend James got on when we went for a splash in the local reservoir. But first of all, let's have a song. All of the songs on this month's show will be water themed. So the first one we have is Otis Redding and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of a bay, wasting time.
That was Otis Redding and Sitting on a Dock of a Bay. It reminds me of my friend Carly, who's a singer-songwriter, and she used to sing that out busking in Brighton and could never get the whistling bit right. It was always a point of hilarity. Okay, so this month's show is going to be all around wild swimming. Now, it's something that I deeply love, and I wanted to share with you some people who are really into this and have produced some lovely work as a result of being into wild swimming. And then also we're going to hear from the practical side of things from the Outdoor Swimming Society about, you know, how to be safe and things to look out for and things like that. So I listened to a lot of books because of my work, because of being a gardener and having that kind of time where I can absorb it via my ears instead of my eyes. I listened to a book called Leap In, and it's by a woman called Alexandra Hemmingsley. And it was one of those books that you hear or read and it just completely inspires you, and you need to immediately get out and do the exact thing that they're talking about. So this is all about her kind of journey into wild swimming, as much as I hate using that word, it's the only one that really describes it, into wild swimming and what that brought to her life, and how it also sort of sat alongside some difficult times she was having in her life. And how you can overcome things in one area, it helps you to overcome things in another area. This is her taking part in her first river swim, and it's an event that took place in Arundel.
The water tasted like nothing I had experienced before. There was no salt, despite us being so close to the sea. It was exactly what I would have imagined this shade of earthy green to taste like. Mint and mud, Virginia Woolf called it, and I understood in those moments what she meant. It was silty but fresh, calling to mind the chlorophyll intensity of spirulina or similarly verdant powders so beloved of health food shops. There was nothing of the familiar chlorine burn in my nose, nor the sting of salt on my lips or eyes. It was fresh. I daydreamed about this former self, the one who'd never tasted a river, and after 10 minutes or so I looked up, trying to get my bearings. The river was wider than I'd expected, much wider than it was in Littlehampton, and the three of us, swimming at a similar pace, were taking wide zigzags rather than staying tight to its curves. I'd never seen a river this wide from within. The banks seemed high and inaccessible, whereas we were low, eyes at water level, seeing the world as a duckling might. Like them, I was unable to fly, making our sunken position between the banks an inescapable one. The only way out of the river was to finish the course. I steadied my breath, chose a tree in the distance, and told the others I was aiming for that, then planning to take another pause to get my bearings. And so we continued, swimming for 10 or 12 minutes at a stretch, pausing to right our course, checking that we were all still feeling strong, then onwards. I'd swum for an hour continuously in the pool, but it had always been punctuated by pauses in the shallow end. I'd at least practiced in open water by now, if only for about 15 minutes of continuous swimming, But this was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. We were inaccessible, plunged into nature, swimming our way home. A beat started to form as I felt my stroke lengthen and become more confident. My breath, my body, my surroundings. This, I suspected, was as close to the state of flow as I had ever felt. This was entirely new sensory territory. With almost nothing to look at beyond my hands' repeated motions and the bubbles they were creating. Nothing to hear except the roaring of the water being forced forward by my exhalations. And nothing to taste other than the river itself. My senses seemed to reach a deep state of relaxation.
It's lovely, isn't it? And it just makes me want to get in the water straight away. She'd done a lot of sea swimming before that event. Locally to Brighton, there's a swimming school and they do something called pool to pier. And it teaches you how to go from swimming in a pool and then you swim between the piers in the sea. And she'd done that. And then this was her first experience in the river. So the book's just lovely and it's of her experience, but then it's also got a whole section on all of the practical things, you know, what kit you need, tips on breathing. It's always breathing with swimming that seems to trip us up, certainly trips me up. I seem to end up sort of consumed with water. So it's a great book. It's called Leap In. I'll put that on the show page, the Growing Wild show page on RadioReverb.com. That excerpt is actually also from a book called Watermarks, and it's just come out, it's just being published, and it's a lovely book. It's a collection of writings from wild swimming fans, just outdoor swimming fans, and it's supported by Pell's Pool, which is an outdoor pool in Lewes. It's really lovely, and it just seems to show how deep people's connection is with the water and how it seems to affect people so richly, which is an experience actually that my first guest, Vivian Rickman-Poole, has very much had, and we'll hear from her after this song. I can't do a show about water and not play Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake. That was Justin Timberlake and Cry Me a River. It's so old, that song, but you wouldn't know it, would you? Sounds fresh as a daisy. Okay, next we're going to hear from Vivian Rickman-Poole. Now, she is a photographer and an artist and also a swimmer, a wild swimmer. And she combines these two things so beautifully, where she takes shots of her body underwater in various different bodies of water. And her Instagram account is just gorgeous, and I would urge you to go and have a look. Her handle is just at Vivian Rickman-Poole. I first saw of her in The Guardian, actually. They did a piece about these small films that had been made for a film festival, and hers was called Afterglow, and it's just stunning. And again, I'll put links to this on the show page, on the Growing Wild show page on RadioReverb.com. And I really have a watch of it. It's just so glorious. She's originally from the New Forest. She now lives just by Snowdonia in Wales. And we were having this great chat before the interview even started. So I finally got round to talking to her about wild swimming. And here we are. How did you come to find wild swimming? And because it's obviously a big love for you. It feels like more than just a hobby or like a playful thing, which I'm sure it is as well. But it seems to run a lot deeper. How did you come to find that it was something that was going to be so important for you?
It's something I've always done, ever, you know, since I can remember. Mum was a swimmer from the days when swimming, you swam outside because you had no other choice. I think they had a harbour pool they might have swum in. She just made sure we always swam, and, you know, like everyone did, if summers were spent at the beach or in river pools or an old gravel pit we used to swim in the forest. it was always just part of life. She used to swim for her county, and she had sort of had aspirations that I was going to be some great championship swimmer, which didn't happen. I didn't have the same aspiration. Yeah, as I got older, I just sort of, you know, grew out of it a bit. And then, just as I came up here, obviously, it's a big outdoor life up here. So I'm always doing lots of swimming. And that's where, when I moved up here, I started to do more of that. And then my mum passed away, and I didn't notice. It was totally subconscious that I was swimming more and more after she passed away. And I did a film with for Elbow for one of their singles. And it wasn't until we were making that film that it came out that it was possibly why I was swimming so much, was because, you know, my mum had passed away.
Mm.
So
so it's actually, it's been a bit of a healing experience,
yeah,
in a way?
Yeah, I mean, I think if it was, it was totally subconscious.
Yeah.
But yeah. I swim a lot alone, but I don't, you know, while I'm swimming, I'm not thinking about my mum or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do, because I think when you're swimming, I'm just in the moment, you know, I'm just thinking about my next time I've got to put my head up to breathe and that kind of thing. But the taking photos came about because I've always messed about with cameras and being experimental with, you know, making pinhole cameras. And at some point, the swimming started to get quite obsessive. And with all art, you know, all creativity and the subject that you're interested in, I find that for it to be really meaningful, it ends up being all-encompassing in your life.
Mm.
And at some point, the cameras went in the water with me, and that's when it all took over and became encompassing.
Yeah, it kind of fed into each other. So you had this, your love for photography intertwined with being in the water.
Yes. I did an article for Elementum Journal, and I was talking to, I'm not a great speaker, but I was talking to the editor. She helped write the article. And it was in. She picked up on this sort of swimming for healing, or I mean, I don't like the word healing particularly, but she picked up on the fact that I was swimming alone and wanting to sort of capture the being alone in the water, and she picked up on the maybe it was something connection to my mum, you know.
Mm. Yeah, because that it's very striking in your images. I've got to say, I've picked up on that. It looks like you use it very much for time that you've carved out for yourself, you know, just to have some space. And it seems quite almost expansive in a way. It's like it looks like you breathe in the water. There's I don't know, like a spaciousness about you. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually, this is getting really deep. I'm a twin, but I've lost my twin. She was, I don't even know if it was a she. She was born early and didn't make it. It's almost like I'm trying to create, through self-portraits, trying to create an image of a double of myself, like almost embryonic. Healing, grieving process is there again. Because me being interested in my twin came up when my mum passed away.
Okay.
But
I do find, something about the water. For me, it's I'm going out a lot more and spending time in the water a lot more. And, wild swimming is becoming quite a large part of my life, actually. And I'm finding it quite emotional. And there's something in learning to trust the water, that it holds you. If you stop sort of flailing around and thinking, oh, it's getting it up my nose or whatever, when you can be so still, it's such a minimal movement to stay afloat. And there's something in that change of mindset. I don't know, it feels quite, it does, it really resonates, it goes quite deep.
I sometimes have this absolute craving to have the pressure of the water around me.
Mm.
And it's almost like being cuddled by the water. And I don't have any desire to dive into the water. I quite like my head above it. But I like that feeling that my body is immersed in it.
Yeah.
You know, I like to have my shoulders under. And it's the coldness is quite a big thing for me as well. I like the coolness all over me, and I'm enveloped enveloped in the water.
Enveloped.
It's a good way to. I think Roger Deakin uses that in his book Waterlog. Enveloped in a silky softness is a line from it that I really like.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah,
it does feel that way. Yeah, cold water. You go in the water all year round.
Yes. they say it's addictive, this cold thing.
Yeah.
Because you get they call it afterglow, this rush of warmth when you get out. And then it's sort of cold to your bones inside. And it's a nice feeling. And then you might get it the first time that you go swimming, and then you get it if you've been for a bit longer, and then it kind of disappears the more and more that you do it. And then perhaps the colder that you go, you'll get it. And I rarely get it now.
Okay.
But then I've got into, going in winter is nice. And I guess you're ever searching to get that feeling back. But I mean, I've been out in Finland last year for a month doing cutting ice holes with the chainsaws and things, quite exciting stuff. And I can't say I had afterglow once.
No, really?
I had a brilliant time.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating the way our bodies acclimatise and then we don't get, it's just like drugs or something, isn't it? Or caffeine, yeah. Or, you know, yeah. We kind of get to that level of just not quite getting that rush anymore. But
So searching for our natural highs.
Yeah. I think something that comes up quite a lot especially women that get into the water, is body image comes up quite a lot, I find, when talking about this. And it seems to be a hurdle for people to get over, or for women to get over, actually, in terms of just getting into the water because of all, you know, the hang-ups of what you look like. And how have you found that? Have you had to overcome anything like that, or has it helped you become more confident?
I think the reason I don't often I'm headless is for that very fact. It's kind of like, not a statement because that's a really strong word, but you know, my work's definitely about body image. Is that in water we're all beautiful, graceful, elegant creatures. You know, we all feel confident. And that's, you know, why is that? Why do we all feel incredible in the water? And I notice when I take photos of other people, they all feel amazing in the water. And when you show an image and say, can I use this? They're like, yeah, no worries. But when you take a photo of someone's face, they want to have a look at it straight away. And it's like, don't use that.
Isn't that interesting?
Our faces that we want to edit.
So a question that I've found that comes up quite a lot when you talk about going out in open water is the fear of what might lurk beneath.
We've all watched Jaws.
I know, right? Even in swimming pools, I can get that feeling. Oh, gosh, what if it bursts through the wall? Completely irrational.
Yeah.
But it does. I think we all saw it at a tender age, and it seems to have affected us. Have you had to overcome those thoughts, yeah. Or do you get freaked out by something brushing your leg ever?
All the time. One of the reasons that I started taking a camera in the water was for that very reason, was that I was petrified of, you know, everything. And I'd rush home to have a look at the photos and then find out there was nothing, absolutely
nothing. There's nothing there, yeah.
I mean, I didn't used to lift my eyes underwater because I was frightened. You know, every kind of thing that moves, you know, would throw me into, like, fits of screaming.
It's our imagination, isn't it? That's almost the biggest thing.
Totally.
That's the biggest thing we have to overcome is what we bring to it ourselves.
I've developed a love for deep water, which is quite unusual because most people like to stay in the shallows because they feel safe. But for me, that's where the beasties live, in the shallows. That's where we're going to see fish and things. Mm. Whereas in the deep water, it's just an empty abyss of nothingness. Ooh. Which is what I like looking at. But a lot of people hate that. So we're all different, aren't we?
I like it when I know that I can touch the bottom, but I think it's,
okay, yeah.
I feel like it's going to be part of this experience is being able to be in the middle of the water and just feeling okay with that.
Yeah.
And sitting with that, because it's a very special feeling. Can you tell us a bit about your the Snowdonia project that you're doing?
Yeah, so I mean, it came about purely from not. I mean, I like change maybe a little bit too much. One of those people who never wants to do the same thing twice, which can be slightly problematic. I mean, I've got a beautiful lake, literally a minute's walk from my house, and but going to swim in there every day would just drive me crazy. So I started swimming in lots of different lakes. And then, you know, you stare at the map and you're like, wow, there's loads of lakes. I want to go in all of them. And then I found a lovely book called The Lakes of Snowdonia. And it said there were 250 lakes of significance, you know, storied legends, size, depth. And so I made it my mission. I was going to swim all of them. I mean, some of them are swamps, which you wouldn't want to go anywhere near. But so at least I wanted to go to them and document visually, or, you know, write something about them. It's become a bit of a life's work now.
How many have you done? How far in are you?
I'm about 130 now.
Wow. Crikey.
Yeah. I have little spurts, so I might get sort of 30 done in a few weeks, and then it backs right off.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody who hadn't done anything like this before? What's a good introduction into wild swimming?
I would say, yeah, just even go and give it a go, even if you just dip your toes in. Because most people, it's the cold. I mean, my husband is, I say he's allergic to water, but it's the cold for him. You know, what I just get in and say this feels like a bath to him is like getting inside a freezer. But, you know, just dip your toes in. If that's all you can manage, then that's all you can manage the first time. Maybe next time you've got to your knees. And I bet it gives the same joy as it does if I swam across the lake and back, you know. And I think that's the important thing, is you do something for the joy that it brings to you, not to me or not to the person, someone else.
Finding your own level with it.
Yeah, finding your level. And the other thing is, a lot of people get hung up on whether you wear a wetsuit or a swimsuit, or whether you wear your birthday suit. You know, it doesn't matter what you wear, it's what you want to.
Sound advice there from Vivian at the end. I think that's so true. It's just finding your own level with these things. I loved that interview. I really enjoyed speaking to her. You can probably tell, because it was quite long, and I cut that down from at least half an hour. So if you want to find out more about the work she does, then I will put links to that on the show page. And well, you can just look her up on Instagram. It's Vivian Rickman Paul, and the images are gorgeous. So do check her out. She's brilliant. And how inspiring. What a lovely story. What a lovely story. And that really resonates with that book I mentioned earlier, which is called Watermarks, and the collection of writings in there as well, and people's experience and connection with the water and just how it helps them with their life. It's just so beautiful. Okay, I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to hear from Robert from the Outdoor Swimming Society, who is going to speak to us on a more practical level about what to expect when we go out into the waters. But first, this is I Can See Clearly Now by Jimmy Cliff. That was Jimmy Cliff and I Can See Clearly Now on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is Growing Wild and I'm Charlotte Petz. Okay, next up we've got the Outdoor Swimming Society. I had a chat with Robert and he talked me through some of the things that you can encounter when wanting to get into an outdoor body of water, and some things to be aware of. And this is him just telling us a little bit more about what the Outdoor Society is.
The Outdoor Swimming Society was set up to promote, about 10 years ago, to promote recreational outdoor swimming. No other organisation was doing that, and it was becoming more and more difficult to go outdoor swimming. There was lots of people putting signs up, no swimming, just because they thought they had to, and they didn't. So there was an issue, a lot of landowners thought they were liable if someone drowned. Or so that's the reason we produced this guide as well to outdoor swimming. So landowners are aware of their liability.
What is their liability? Is it not right that they would be liable if somebody...
There is some liability, but generally if you're going at your own risk, it's down to you. Basically, there's the only thing they need to do really is to, if there's an obvious danger... a concealed danger, like there was a sluice or something in the water, or hidden objects. Generally, if you go swimming in a lake, you have to accept that you're taking that risk yourself. If the owner of the land knew there was like a sudden drop, or there was a strong current, or water was being pumped through a sluice, they'd have to put signage to warn you. That's all they'd have to do.
Oh, right. So, yeah, you've created something called the Inland Bathing Area Guide. And that guide is predominantly, for both parties, for those that own the land that the water is in, and then
could
for those...
councils, landowners, the National Trust, and things have changed a lot now. The National Trust have opened up areas for swimming, such as at Church Stretton Reservoir. They've put basically safety signage warning you. Because there were so many people going swimming in their reservoir at Church Stretton, they kept telling them to get out. And in the end, as soon as the wardens had walked away, the people went back in. So they said, right, we don't want to stop people having fun. They did a risk assessment and put safety signage up. And that's in the guide. It showed you how to wild swim safely. And the Lake District National Park, they've opened up nearly all of their natural lakes are open for swimming now. They just provide guidance, and you go in at your own risk, but they give you safety advice, so you can swim. And they encourage swimming now in the Lake District, so that's great. Most rivers you can swim in. There's some restrictions down in London on the Thames, on the tidal Thames, but generally, natural rivers you can. Use your own common sense normally. If you can't walk in, climb in, then you won't be able to get out. So we've put all that on the website about safety for wild swimming. So really, it's doing a bit of research. If you go to the Outdoor Swimming Society website, it tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? For me, I would have thought, and I assume this is what a lot of landowners think, is that they would be liable, and so they get frightened and they put up all of the massive red letter no swimming signs up. So it's really good to get that information out there that they won't be entirely liable if they just put out a few guidelines and highlight any risks that might not be visible to the naked eye. That's really interesting. And it's funny, isn't it, that it gets called wild swimming, and probably not that long ago it was just called swimming. But
wild swimming is anywhere. It's not a special facility where you've made a special facility for like a lido, an outdoor swimming pool, or a special buoyed off area of a lake. That would be a facility for outdoor swimming. Where wild swimming is generally you just go in at your own risk in a river or a lake, and you. Use your own common sense, but you're taking the risk yourself. There's more chance of you having an accident, getting killed, crossing the road than there is while swimming.
Yeah.
And that's been tested in the courts. It is down to you using your own common sense, and occasionally accidents happen, but that's just living, isn't it?
That's just being alive, I think. Yeah. Another safety issue, I guess, that people think of is the level of pollution that could potentially be in the water, which has obviously increased over the years.
Rivers are the cleanest they've ever been at the moment.
Is that right?
You can check on the Environment Agency website. They'll give you the level of... You go to swim in a river, check on the Environment Agency's website, and they tell you what the level of pollution is in various rivers. They're a lot cleaner than they were in the 1970s. That was the...
So it's actually, it's not that polluted, it's not that unsafe.
No, I mean, they're talking about Viles disease. It's very, very rare, and it's more prevalent on the continent. It's only if you're swimming in something which is like a stagnant water or a ditch or something like that. Generally, if the water looks nice and clean, it's okay. So there's a lot of... lot of scaremongering used to go on about things. I mean, if you've got a cut, put a plaster on it, and if you feel unwell, go and see the doctor. But it's pretty rare, very, very, very rare. So there's more chance of you getting knocked down crossing the road than.
Yeah, there's so many. I think it ties into sort of a few different things, really, kind of even with our food and things, you know, like while going foraging, there's a lot of fear around picking the wrong thing and being poisoned. We just seem to have been given a lot of fear around our natural environment.
Yeah.
So to bring that back and make people aware that it's actually quite safe and really enjoyable seems...
Yeah, doing a bit of research, getting the right advice and... That's the way forward, and that's why we put all this advice on our website for outdoor swimming, so people can do it and take reasonable... I mean, when I go, I usually put a good thing to use is swim shoes. They're ever so cheap. You can get them from most sports shops now. They're quite cheap, swim shoes are, because if you're standing on... If you're going wild swimming, then you don't know what's underneath. It can be very rocky. Swim shoes, a shorty wetsuit, gives you a bit of buoyancy. If it's really warm, I'll just use trunks and swim shoes. But if it's a bit cooler, then you short your wetsuit. And it gives you a buoyancy as well and keeps you a bit warmer. So you can extend the season, you see. So there's a lot of useful kit out there now.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all that information is available on the Outdoor Swimming Society website?
Yeah, most of that's on there, on the Outdoor Swimming Society website, yeah. Anyone who's got queries about wanting to set up a bathing area or get access to waters in their area and having problems with a landowner, they can put a query and we can respond.
As regards to our rights to swim in water and in rivers, I read that we have permission for only 2% of our waterways. Is that right? If you are, you know, say walking alongside and you see a river and you want to jump in, are we allowed to do that? Or could somebody come along and say, oi, get out?
You probably get someone who would tell you to get out, but as far as Magna Carta goes, the English constitution written in the Middle Ages, we have access to any physically navigable by a canoe, small boat or canoe, anything which is physically navigable. Some people dispute that, but it's in writing that you can, and many are used. Natural rivers. You can, and many are used for canoeing. These are many places like the River Trent, because the navigation rights are controlled in the where you have motorboats, and then beyond that, it's generally free navigation. But there's no legal basis to say you can't go in those waters. I think generally if you see someone fishing, just give them a wide berth because they paid for the fishing right.
Yeah,
they don't own the water, they paid for the right to fish. As long as you're not fishing illegally, you can swim in there. And generally most of them are all right, but you'll always get one or two grumpy
characters
who will make a fuss. Just give them a wide berth.
Yeah, because we're both just trying to enjoy the river, aren't you? So, you know, it's just having some respect, and it's sort of like a cyclist and a motorist, isn't it? It's sort of What do you think we gain from wild swimming? What benefits do you think it brings to us?
It has little or no impact on the environment. It encourages people, especially children, to spend more time getting healthy exercise because they're having fun.
Yeah,
and consequence improvement in their health and well-being.
Cold water is very good for us, isn't it? It's been proven to generate certain things.
I mean,
you
don't just jump. It's best to, if you go slowly, slowly immerse yourself into it when it's a bit colder. Just get don't just if you jump straight in, then you can start panicking and your heart rate. Just go in, always walk in slowly and acclimatise yourself to it. But I always feel great after I've had an outdoor swim.
That was Robert Aspey of the Outdoor Swimming Society. Their website is outdoorswimmingsociety.com. All of that information is on there. It's absolutely a brilliant resource. I will put the link on the Growing Wild webpage on radioreverb.com. I think my favourite bit of that is the fact that we can reference the Magna Carta when wanting to jump in a river. And if somebody says, oi, you get out, you say, no, the Magna Carta says it's fine. Brilliant. I made a little reference there to the effects of cold water and how good they are for us. If you wanted to find out a little bit more about that, then there's somebody called Dr. Rhonda Patrick, who is amazing and covers all sorts of things and has done into nutrition and into our health generally. And she's a huge resource. And she talks about some tests that they've done with cold water, or just sort of, or cryogenics as well, actually. But some highlights of some of what cold water exposure can do for us. It can lower inflammation. It may increase immune cell numbers. It can increase your metabolic rate and the release of certain hormones, which have an effect on our mood, our vigilance and focus and attention. So there's just a wealth of goodness in being in these bodies of water that are outside. So if it's the cold that's putting you off, then actually that's probably the thing that is the best thing for you. I will put some information about that again on the show page. And if you were interested in what she has to say, it's absolutely brilliant. I just didn't have time to fit it into this show, unfortunately. Okay, I'm going to play a song, and then I did a little outing with my friend James, and, well, I'll tell you a bit more about it after this. This is Creedence Clearwater Revival, and There's a Bad Moon. That was Creedence Clearwater Revival. Wasn't that lovely to hear as well from Robert that the rivers are actually the cleanest they've been in years? I was very buoyed by that information. Okay, so next up, I wanted to get a taste of what it's like to actually go out into the water. All of this talk about it, if you're like me, just makes you want to go out and just get in it, really. Where I live, there's a reservoir, which I do kind of sneak in and have a little swim in here and there. And I went out there with my friend James. He does often need a little bit of cajoling, but I thought that was quite nice because it's quite a realistic portrayal of what it's like for a lot of people when you're going into some water that isn't a swimming pool and there are other things living in there and there's other activity and other life. So this is me and him on the verge. It's been such beautiful weather lately, so it was a warm evening. The sun was just starting to set over on the horizon. And this is us just outside of the water, and James faffing around with his little towel.
You know how when those high divers, you know, come out the pool, they have these little flannels that just go out. Like that, what?
Well, there's not nearly enough sun to dry us off at the end of it. It is rather setting over there.
I'm not sure, I might just get only halfway in.
Why?
Because I'm scared of the cold.
You're scared of the cold?
So, like, I don't do cold well. So cold. Don't splash me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get
it's
too
warm.
Cold unexpectedly.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's alright.
Can you feel the stones through your little wetsuit booties?
Yeah, but it's taking the sharp edges off.
Okay. So you're supposed to do it gradually, because if you jump in, then that's when your body goes rah and freaks out. So if you gradually acclimatise...
Right, slow. I can do slow. 2 shirts coming off.
Going in.
No, I'm not going for it.
Oh, James!
I can't do that!
You can't get halfway in and just stand there.
Yeah, I can.
Oh. I'm going in. I'm going.
Okay.
Oh, there's a big warm patch. Did you do a wee?
No.
It's lovely. Oh, that's a cold bit.
Yeah, you just got to keep finding the warm patches.
Oh, it's nice.
Oh, there's a warm patch.
Oh, it gets deep quick. Oh,
Goodness me.
Get your shoulders in, come on. I feel like a bully.
Yeah, you are.
It doesn't cramp unless you get your your head in.
So. Come on.
That's enough for washing your pit.
No, I'm just acclimatising.
Right, head in. Oh, belly button in. Oh, into your time.
I'm up to the ribs. I'm going to walk backwards. It makes me feel a bit better about it. Oh, oh.
It dips off quite quick.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but you've got to keep moving.
Do you think those three ducks are just sort of laughing at it? What palaver?
Yeah. I'm not a strong swimmer, that's my issue.
Yeah. If you just lie on your back.
Yeah.
And, you know, flat, so your ears are
submerged.
Yeah. All you need to do is put your head back.
Right.
So that you're quite flat.
Yeah.
All you need to do is just gently move your hands side to side, and that's enough to keep you afloat.
Yeah.
Like, but your head has to be quite flat, because otherwise your legs drop.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Huh.
That's the first time I've tried that. I don't think I've ever really trusted the water, you know, like that it will actually hold you. I've always sort of flailed around quite a lot.
I think once you reach a certain level of confidence about the fact it's outside.
I can't hear anything because my ears are in the water. That is going to be a belter of a sunset. Worth it.
Yeah.
Whatever hesitation you may have at the beginning, as soon as you're in, it's like it all just melts away.
Yeah, it's just that first step, isn't it? Yeah. Well, actually, it's not the first step, it's about the 14th or 15th step.
And once you've, you know, washed your armpits and
acclimatised
in your own unique way. I dream of that on hot days when I'm working.
Yeah, me too.
Best thing.
These shoes are well worth it, though. Make all the difference.
Yeah, it's that sort of ungraceful clamber over the rocks, otherwise, isn't it? Or these suspicious... It's always what's under your feet that can freak you out.
Yeah, right.
The unknown. Imagination is...
What lies in the deep.
What lies in the deep.
Right, the thing is about having a towel the size of a flannel is you may well get a flash of my arse. Oh, none taken.
I'm quite tempted to go back in.
You're a flaming lunatic. Go on then.
So that was me and James having a splash around. I've got to admit, the edit of that makes me sound like I got really impatient with him because I was sort of talking about how you acclimatise to the cold, and then the next second I'm saying, come on, get in. I'm very aware of sort of sounding like this little anchovy kind of splashing around him and cajoling. But it was good fun, and he does always love it. It's fine, and it wasn't that cold. So that's just a sort of... I think that's quite a good portrayal of the experience of going out in the water. There's usually a huge amount of hesitation until you're used to it. And then just the lovely feeling afterwards of how worth it always is. Okay, so we've come to the end of the show. This has been Growing Wild, sponsored by Infinity Foods. I'm Charlotte Petz. Thank you very much for listening. You can get in touch with me via Instagram and Twitter on @GrowingWildFM or via email, which is growingwildreverb@gmail.com. I just really want to encourage you to go out and have a swim. I hope this has been some sort of inspiration for you to do so. And if you do, it would be great if you let me know. I'd love that. I'm going to play you out with a couple of songs. The first one is Johnny Cash, and then it will be followed by George Harrison. Both water-themed, obviously. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll be back next time. Go well.
Now I taught the weeping willow how to cry, and I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears that I cried for that woman are gonna flood you, big river, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die.
I don't want you, but I hate to lose you. You got me in between the devil and the deep blue sea. I forgive you, 'cause I can't forget you.